Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. We're delighted to have you on board today with us as once again we face the issues. We're looking forward to having the journey with you. We invite you to call in. We'd like to talk with you about your comment, listen to your comments, your dialogue and discussion on the issue. Let me remind you that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Your telephone call gets you directly through to the studios and right to our microphones so that we can have the dialogue and discussion with you today. We're going to be talking about culture, conflict, and chaos in America. It is the centrality of what you would call cultural Marxism that is taking place in our nation today. We're watching the uprooting, the evisceration, the absolute destruction of the foundation of our nation. And I know you might say, well, that's a negative thing to talk about. Ladies and gentlemen, it's happening. We need to talk about it and understand what's happening, why it's taking place, and what we need to do in response to it. Let me remind you that the Bible warns us, notifies us, cautions us, know ye not that in the last days perilous times shall come? For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemous, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that do good. And I don't know of anything that would vivify that any more than what we're seeing today with the Black Lives Matter and Antifa. Then on top of that, seeing what the Supreme Court's doing to try to tear down and destroy the morals, the ethics, and the values. At the same time that's happening, thousands of churches are still forced to be closed, and the threats by some of the governors and mayors to do religious tracing if they go to church, and some of them are requiring the names, address, telephone numbers of all those that will come in and worship so that if something goes wrong, they can trace them. I don't know of anything that's any more antithetical to our religious liberties than that. But ladies and gentlemen, we'll be talking about all of that and more on this broadcast today. Let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. Jesus said to his disciples in John 8:31-32, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Then Jesus said, John 14:6, I am truth. And then in John 17:17, the Lord Jesus makes a declaratory statement when he says, thy word is truth. It was George Orwell a number of years ago that said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And ladies and gentlemen, we're seeing that today. As I've said so many times before, if you don't believe that, look at Nancy Pelosi and what she's saying and doing and how she's responding even to Black Lives Matter and Antifa and the destruction of our nation and the destruction of our historic monuments and history and heritage and America being destroyed. Ladies and gentlemen, one of the things that I would like to dwell on and focus on and try to remind you each and every day on this broadcast is that we need to stand for truth. It was the 15th century theologian and church reformer Jan Hus that said, and I quote, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. It is one of those things that most of the time, most of us fail to do and fail to recognize. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to understand that truth matters. I'm delighted to have with me today one of our sons. We got four sons. And as I've told you before, my bride reminds me it's not your son, it's our son. One of them's with me today on the set. It's Greg. Greg, I am thankful that you are in town, that you're able to be with us as we come together on this broadcast to talk about some important things.
Well, I had to come see you because you don't come see me. That's pretty bad right there.
I can't handle the drive around there.
When your daddy won't come see you, that's pretty bad. When your mama won't come see you, it's really bad.
We're going to have to get a plane or a train or something because I can't handle the driving around your mountains up there.
Yeah, mountains. Those switchbacks are those beyond him. I said this the other day that I'd gone back to the home I grew up in, you know, from 30-odd years ago and knocked on the door and asked if I could come in and take a look around. They said, no, absolutely not. I thought right then, doggone it, Mom and Dad have sure gotten mean. Well, you know, when you read that verse that passage out of Romans 1, I was just thinking, it's a good thing you're not north of the border and in Canada. It's a good thing you're not in some of these states that would call that a hate crime. Just the fact you started reading in Romans 1, right? Is that where you were at?
No, I was in.
Hold on a second.
Timothy.
There was a Romans 1 passage. It sounded like you were right there that they had.
Romans 1 talks about, as you know, verses 24 through 32.
Now I'm talking verses 21, 22, 23 being turned over.
The reprobate man.
I thought you read that. I'm sorry.
No.
Well, we're kind of in that same vein, in that we have a culture that has been turned over.
Yes.
When you reject God, what happens at a certain point?
Okay. Eventually, God says, okay, have it your way.
Have it your way.
Just turn it over.
Have it your way. Mm-hmm. And you're kind of watching, it seems like, the attempted muting of believers. I mean, obviously, we saw this with the Wuhan flu, these folks. You know, I got somebody that got upset with me the other day. You know, he tagged me as a vile name associated with being a Trump cultist is the way they have some really profane ways of saying that. But I was tagged being something evil for calling it the Wuhan flu. I mean, is that ridiculous?
I like President Trump's calling it that.
But it's absurd. Somehow or another, if you call it
Wuhan Kong flu?
You could go right down to it. It gets ridiculous, though, because free speech is kind of at the top. Freedom of religion, free speech, freedom of press, those are all in the First Amendment, right? Why is it that those come under assault so very quickly, and it's not just the folks online that want to, but literally the state. And many of these cities and states that are controlled by leftists, they want to keep the church shut down. Now, their idea is it's what's good for the goose is not good for the gander. Free speech and freedom of religion, those are only for the leftist.
That's the way they say it.
You can have Ahmadinejad, that used to be the president of Iran, a radical, who wants to burn the earth down. He wants to bathe the earth in blood in order for the 13th Imam, you know, the Antichrist, to come on the scene. That guy was okay as a speaker on a college campus. But Candace Owens is not a approved speaker. One after another, you could list a couple of dozen that have had major violent events break out on college campuses to prevent them from being able to speak. And those that arrive and attempt to speak are many times interrupted and shouted down and the stage run in order to shut that down. So why is that so? Why is it that that hypocrisy is not recognized within the college and corrected? Where's the true diversity of thought on the college campus? Somehow or another, what do they call academic freedom was a term that they for a couple decades ago was really popular. Academic freedom, I think that's when the leftists were trying to get a toehold within academia.
Now, they have it completely now.
Now that they're holding like a more than 90% stake in academia, now they're going to absolutely dominate and say, you're a conservative, you're a Christian, you can't speak. What you're saying is hate speech. What is hate speech? You can be muted, you can be shut down. And it seems like across the board, and right now the Black Lives Matter thing, the idea that we ought to bow down. By the way, Dan Cathy, I'm not running out of my way to go to Chick-fil-A right now, and I'm so sorry because I love the workers at Chick-fil-A. I love the managers at Chick-fil-A. I love the history of Chick-fil-A. But right now, I'm very disappointed that he has begun to bow the knee, literally, to a Marxist movement. And it's apologizing to a person. Yeah, I'm a white boy. I didn't choose to be born a white boy. But I no more have a responsibility to apologize to a person that has darker skin than me than a Japanese child would have to apologize to an American for what happened in Vietnam. Now think of the literally in the past year. Last week, we were talking about DACA, right? Deferred Action on Childhood Arrivals. And all these leftists begin to say, well, you can't hold a child responsible for what their parents – they were brought here as children. You can't hold a child responsible for what their parents did. How perverse is this? At the same time that they're saying this, they're saying that we ought to apologize. We ought to drop to our knees and polish the shoes of an individual based on slavery. And you go, hold on a second. Less than 3% of folks in America held slaves. 1,200 or more black people held black African slaves. Just about every ethnicity on the face of the planet, I believe every ethnicity, has been enslaved at some point in time. You know, the crazy train has just gone way, way, way too far. As we chase that rabbit, I think about the greyhound running around the track. They never catch the rabbit.
They never catch the
rabbit. So if you're a conservative, don't ever think you're going to catch the rabbit, because they're always, no matter what happens, at the end of the day, you win the battle, you win the debate. What do they say? You're a racist.
Right.
You're a racist. But the absurdity of it all, the idea that we need to go back and apologize for those things. And an argument last week I heard was, you know, we pillaged. We took all these folks from Africa and denied the growth. Matter of fact, we grew our nation on the back of slavery. That's some absurdity right there. You know, according to I believe it's TheRoot.com, is a black professor. Matter of fact, he was the one that was trying to get into his house, and he was arrested.
Right,
and
right.
You know, Obama said police acted stupidly. He didn't know anything about the case, but I believe he was either the contributor or the founder of The Root, and he determined that about 5% of black African slaves ended up in the colonies that became the United States. Many, 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 many more ended up in Brazil. So, you know, if we built this nation on the back of slavery, slavery made this nation what it is. What about Brazil? Oh, what about the Caribbean? Oh, go throughout the islands where lots of them, I mean, I know they get wiped out by hurricanes and all, but a lot of them look like third world countries. As soon as you get out of the straw market, you know, they look like third world countries.
Right.
Why is that? If we built this, you know what? This nation was built on a Judeo-Christian ethic. You
that
go all the way back to the Plymouth Colony.
That's the key to it.
That's the key right there. And we've perverted the entire argument. We can't have a reasoned discussion anymore, it seems like.
Yes, it is an impossibility. In fact, Tucker Carlson mentioned that a couple of weeks ago on one of his broadcasts dealing with North Korea and how the individuals are made responsible for what their families would do. Perhaps it's the great-great-granddaddy that had done something wrong to the government. And as a result of that, all of the family members incarcerated, put in the gulag, are slain. He calls it blood guilt. Is the term that Tucker Carlson used on it. Greg, you touched on just a moment ago with the Black Lives Matter, known as BLM. And just this past weekend in Chicago, there was 99 shootings.
12 fatalities.
12 fatalities.
Where's the march?
Where's the march? Where's the outcry for those lives that were taken? One was I think it's 3, 4, 5-year-old child in the backseat of the car. And as he was driving by in a neighborhood, gunfire went through the trunk of the car into the back seat and killed the child. Where's the outcry for that murder? And yet we have the outcry across America, supposedly because of police shootings, because of talk with us about for a moment the percentage, the statistics as far as the police shootings with whites versus blacks, the death versus lives. What are some of the truths and fallacies in that mindset and that argument?
Well, a white person unarmed is twice as likely to die at the hands of law enforcement than a black person, though there are far, far more, you know, percentage-wise interactions on violent criminal acts between black folks and police. And I think that's it's bad because we immediately talk of white and black.
Mm-hmm.
I wish we could have that discussion on fatherless households and households that grew up with a father.
Right.
That's a discussion we ought to be having right now today. But somehow or another, there are those that want to make it a racist thing or an ethnic thing. Anyway, they they have perverted the entire system, but there's a political agenda behind that. Let's create as much turmoil and strife as we can possibly create between now and the election. You know, still a factual statistic that a police officer is 18 and a half more times more likely to be killed by a person in doing an arrest than a black person in interaction with law enforcement. My goodness, we have so perverted the debate. Let me step off of that topic. You know, this big rally that the story was, there were over 1 million folks that wanted to get into the rally, and then they only got 6,200 in. Now there were thousands waiting to get in, and you had Antifa or some group blocking metal detectors, and TikTok or one of these online outfits had encouraged folks to make reservations with no intent to attend in order to try to flood the system. At the same time, ads were popping up on Craigslist asking folks that had, if they were confirmed to have COVID-19, if they were confirmed to have Wuhan flu, try to get into the event. How perverse is this? I mean, we spent over $30 million investigating the possibility of Russian collusion. At the end of the day, it was said that they spent a couple $100,000. I mean, billions of dollars were spent, but the Russians spent a couple $100,000 on online ads, and supposedly they had an effect. According to Hillary, she won the election. It's just those wascally Russians. They're the ones that turned everything for Trump. Do you feel like we're living in crazy land today? That we're getting hit from so many different
sides
simultaneously?
It's crazy land. One of the things, and that's what I touch on in relationship to cultural Marxism. Cultural Marxism is built on division. Karl Marx was a genius, if we can put him in that category, in relationship to the devised plan to overthrow a nation. For example, today we have the LGBTQ agenda. We have abortion, murder by way of abortion. We have the Black Lives Matter and Antifa. We have feminism, social justice, and all of this causes internal conflict and confusion and chaos. And with that, you can destroy a culture and a nation. Ladies and gentlemen, you're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. That telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. If you'd like to jump into the dialogue and discussion at any point in time, you do so. Love to hear from you. Love to hear your comments. Do you believe that the Black Lives Matter is a Marxist organization or just a racist agenda to divide America, either being about the same? What is the difference between Black Lives Matter and Antifa? What is the ultimate goal of those two organizations? Who's doing the funding of those organizations primarily? And what is the cause? Greg, one of the major things that I believe that people need to understand is that there's an ultimate agenda, not just to, in the long run, to destroy the Constitutional Republic and to overthrow America, but the short run is for November the 3rd.
Right.
What is the goal in relationship to that?
It's interesting. You said this is orchestrated. You have your puppet masters like your George Soros types. Your George Soros types, he will go into currencies. And if he goes into a nation and shorts their currency, then he may nudge, he may push around the edges to try to get their economy to collapse and their currency to collapse, so all of a sudden he makes billions. I believe he's shorted the U.S. dollar, and I believe he's doing everything in his power to destroy the economy and see the dollar collapse. If the dollar collapses, he adds billions to his trade. I don't know, at a certain point, I mean, how old is the man? He can't be too far away from pushing up daisies. He probably got one leg in the grave and the other foot on a banana peel. However, he wants to add to those billions and billions and billions he already has. And this is a twisted, perverted man. I believe he's a Hungarian-born Jew, and I believe he was willing to turn in other Jews to the Nazis. And when he was asked about that decades ago as to whether or not he felt sorry for that or bad for that, he said, no, not at all. He said, if I didn't do it, somebody else would.
In fact, he made the statement that was some of the happiest days of his life.
That is just off the wall. But I got a question for you. Does he know who he's working for? Do you think that George Soros knows who he's working
has
for?
Has no idea.
Do you think, as Nancy Pelosi and their crowd took the knee last week, by the way, have you ever seen, you saw them, they all wore the, they all did the, what do they call that ethnic appropriation, cultural appropriation. There we go. So they all wore their African wraps or whatever. cultural appropriate. If we had done that, you know, they would be screaming. You can't do that. You can't do that. You can't. But they all took a knee. When was the last time they took a knee for a lost police officer's life because of the horrendous nature? By the way, we've had a few police officers that lost their life in the past few weeks.
Right.
We have one that's in a critical condition, will be paralyzed for the rest of his life because he was shot in the midst of this. But men, women, young and old, black and white, as police officers have been slain or targeted as a result of this chaos. But do the people, like Nancy Pelosi, do they know who they're working for?
No.
Do they not? I mean, from my perspective, I think many times they think I'm the puppet master.
That's right.
And we deceive, you know, the society deceives itself. People deceive themselves. Many times you go, you know what? I made that decision. I'll tell you what. I've done it now. And they don't realize that they are being played. They're being manipulated. You know, sin works that way. It'll coax you. It'll lure you in. And you think, man, I'll tell you what, I want this. Well, you know, that was dangled out there for you to want that. And there's a person that dangled that out there for you.
We're dealing with a demonic delusion.
Yes, absolutely. We battle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities, spiritual wickedness in high places, and right on down. The reality is, we have puppets all over the place that believe today that they're puppet masters. They have orchestrated this plan, and they're looking at November. Ah, we can get rid of Trump. AOC, man, I'll tell you what, she was on board. The interference in the election was really, 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 really bad when they thought that it may have affected Hillary. The interference in the election by Google, by swaying over 2 million votes, according to Robert Epstein, not the one that didn't die in prison, but they all said. Anyway, Robert Epstein was the one that identified 1.6 million, 2.6 million votes that Google shifted in manipulation of the 2016 election. He expects they will manipulate 15 million votes. Even Google, as powerful as Google is, they believe themselves to be puppet masters. They don't realize they are the puppets.
That's right.
They are the puppets. Mm-hmm. It's not November we're worried about. There is a much, much, much bigger picture. Now, believers, you have, you know, on the other side of the same coin. My biggest concern is with pastors and teachers and preachers that are ignorant of the fact that these things are taking place. You know, we just ought to love God. We ought to preach the gospel. And yes, you ought to. That's your number one charge. But understand the wickedness that's out there. Though you may go, you know, I have no interest. I take no interest in government and in politics. Don't believe because you take no interest in government and politics that government and politics won't take an interest in you.
Right.
They are still tools. Absolutely. And there are tools. In the scripture, the charge is that we occupy till he comes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how far do we take that? Because the way I take that, we take that occupy in every element of our lives. If we happen to be a police officer, occupy till he comes. If you happen to be a judge, occupy till he comes. You happen to be a business person. If you happen to be a preacher, occupy. Hold that territory.
That's right. Occupy,
for the
hold
Lord.
The territory.
Hold that territory.
Absolutely.
For the Lord. Don't give it up. Now, you literally have – you had a generation of pastors that said, come out from among them and be ye separate. How twisted is that? The idea when they applied it the way they did, because they were saying, hey, don't get involved in politics.
Well, that's happened for over 50 years in the pulpits. The reason we have today so many scoundrels in politics.
Yes.
Because
yes. When the Christian does not occupy, guess what does happen?
That's right.
The heathen do occupy. And then we're in this interesting predicament that all of a sudden we're to be submissive to a government that no longer honors God. We're compelled to be submissive to a government that literally does everything it can to tear down or remove God from the culture. The creation of this country was a God thing, as they say it in this culture today. They relied upon the divine. They relied upon the Almighty. They cried out to the creator of this universe in prayer. Ben Franklin actually asked that they go in prayer. Ben Franklin, he's probably one of the most secular. I mean, he's a skirt chasing, wine bibbing. You know, this guy was not the theologian in the crowd. He was the old man of the Republic. I think he was the oldest of those at the Continental Congress. And he called them to prayer. This nation has a beautiful heritage, by the way, still the greatest nation on God's Amen. Green earth. I think it was the, you know, Ken Hamblin, the Black Avenger, that said, pick a better country. I've got a question for anyone out there today, white or black. I want you to think about this really, really, really hard. If you could step back in time, 300 years, 400 years, if you could step back in time and you could wave a magic wand and prevent slavery from ever having taken place, black African slavery, because I mean, we know there's a European slavery. They were dragged from Europe back across the Mediterranean into North Africa. And you've had Irish slavery, you've had Scottish, you've had slavery, Jewish slavery. We're talking about black African slavery. If you could wave the magic wand and make it all go away, it never, 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 never happened, would you do it? Now, I want you, while you're pondering that, while you're thinking about that, I want you to ask yourself this question. What would be the result? Would you condemn millions, hundreds of millions to those countries across Africa that are evil and wicked and wretched and are still involved in the slave trade today in the year 2020? Would you condemn them to that?
It's a good question, a good postulating of facts that many have not considered.
Right. And the reality is, as horrific as slavery was, if a person 200, 300, 400 years ago could see into the future and could see the greatest opportunity on God's green earth bestowed upon his offspring or her offspring generations later, would that person not voluntarily say, yes, I want that for my children? Because as much this, again, It sounds perverse at first, but then you go, my goodness, if we changed it, how much of a loss for all those individuals? I have brothers and sisters in Christ of every color, and they're all equally my brothers and sisters in Christ. Folks, we each one of us came from Adam and Eve. We each one of us came from Shem, Ham, or Japheth. Guess what? We are all related. There is one race. It's the human race.
That's what Ken Ham calls it. Answers in
Genesis. Absolutely.
One race.
Patrick Hampton, a good black brother there in Chattanooga, Tennessee, every day exposes some of these truths. He is eviscerated on Facebook by many folks that are completely ignorant. He just points out facts. I mean, he pointed out the fact again the other day that 1,200 or more black folks owned black African slaves. Here within the colonies that became the United States. So who would owe whom in that situation? But one of the great things is the reality that in America, I don't care if you're red, yellow, black, or white, you're better off here than you are in any other country on the face of this planet. Why would you want to change it?
That's right.
You know what? You think of that, you go, thank God that I was born in America. Thank God that I had the opportunity to come to America. Why in the world do we want to make America an evil? I mean, they're tearing down of the Columbus statue and dumping it. They want to make everything about America evil. You have calls today for the Washington Monument to be torn down. That 555-foot, 5 1/4-inch tall structure lined all over the inside amazingly with Bible verses, scripture passages. Wonderful things, and dedicated to the recognition, the honoring of George Washington, our first president. Looks like we have technical difficulties right here. Hopefully, you're able to hear us, and if you are hearing us, we'll catch up with you right after the 1 minute break. Well, we have 1 minute. That's great. The reality is, statues are being torn down today of people that had absolutely nothing to do with slavery. And in a day and in an age where we ought to be able to reflect, look at the realities and say, you know what? Knowing all of this history, I thank God that I'm in America.
Amen.
Where's the thankfulness? Where's the thank? Kaepernick, that started off with the taking a knee, he was raised in a white family. The man's made over $100 million in this country, and he hates his country.
Hates the country. There's a whole movement today to undermine and tear down and destroy the fundamental foundations of America. That's what we want to talk about right at the break. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a 1 minute break for the top of the hour news. Be right back with you. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials as we continue. Let's face the issue today.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.